Hello, and welcome to show number 2424 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
This was supposed to be a series where this woman would go through all the ups and downs of life, a marriage breakup, and then, you know, blended families and pregnancies and problems at work and a backstabbing boss and all those life events, all those things that we all deal with. And she deals with them. She just happens to be blind. So some of the things she does and uses are different than perhaps a sighted person would use.
And today's episode is all about that series of books that contains a blind protagonist and her life.
And over the years, we've discussed many books by blind authors, several with blind protagonists, but this is a really mainstream book by a mainstream sighted author with a very engaging blind protagonist. The Guiding Emily series of books tells the story of how Emily, who is suddenly blinded, adjusts to life coping with divorce, pressures of a professional career, family relations, and more. We'll talk with author Barbara Hinsky about the inspiration for this series and how the first book in the series was turned into a movie. But first, for the tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Barbara Hinsky.
That's my tip. Would be a more personal one, and that is when a dream finds you, as I feel like this whole Guiding Emily thing found me, don't be afraid to lean into it. It doesn't matter what age you are. I started writing the Guiding Emily. I'm 72 now. So I started writing this at 67, and I'm far from done. So whatever your circumstance is, put that aside. When a dream taps you on the shoulder, you will be given the resources, the energy, and the opportunities you need to bring it into a reality.
What a remarkable personal journey from attorney to author to employment advocate.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Barbara.
Well, we're excited to have today's guest on Eyes on Success once again. She's been with us ever since the first Guiding Emily book in the series, and now we're up to number 5 in the series. So today we'll talk a little bit more about that. But in the meantime, Barbara, can you reintroduce yourself to our listeners and tell a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you. And it's wonderful to be back with you both again. So my author name, my pen name is Barbara Hinsky, which was my maiden name. And I write primarily women's fiction with mystery, thriller, suspense, plot arcs in them. I've got a couple of thrillers out there, some sweet Christmas books. So basically, I'm a novelist, and one of my series is of particular interest, I think, to this community. It's my Guiding Emily series.
As Pete mentioned, there are now 5 books in the Guiding Emily series, but you alluded to several other series. Do you even know how many books you've published at this point?
Thank you. Yes, I've got 25 out there. And I started writing when I was still working full-time. My first book was published in 2012. Now, for the last 5 years, I've been a full-time novelist. But certainly this novel writing gig has kept me out of trouble in my later years, which is nice. My biggest series is my Rosemont series, which is women's fiction with mystery, thriller, suspense. And I'm currently writing the 10th book in that series.
And interestingly, you started out as an attorney. This was quite a change.
You know, yes. When I was little, I always wanted to be a novelist and be a creative writer. But as you grow up, as you probably, maybe you've experienced this, all the negative voices out there, you know, you'll never make a living as you can't support yourself as a novelist. Not very many people sell enough books to, you know, take care of their lives and all that kind of stuff. I let all that get inside of me. And so instead of doing creative writing, I did legal writing. I was a corporate lawyer and did a lot of contract work and that sort of stuff. But I always still wanted to be Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. And I was seriously injured in a car accident in 2010, broke my neck, had terrible double vision, which was the worst of any of the injuries because my eye wasn't paralyzed and my neck healed. But I couldn't read, watch TV, or be on a computer for about 12 weeks while I was in a neck brace. So I just kept thinking, well, if I was going to write a novel, what would I write? And I got the idea from my Rosemont series. So when I was able to, I started writing and the rest followed.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the expanding Guiding Emily series of books and movie.
We talked about the Guiding Emily series in the introduction, and it's an interesting story how that all got started. For our listeners who don't know, maybe you can remind us how the series got started.
Just to back up a little bit, I got the idea for writing Guiding Emily, just kind of dropped into my mind when I was touring the Foundation for Blind Children in Phoenix, Arizona. That facility is about a mile from my house. I had never been in. And so the development director invited my husband and I to come see it. And we did. And we're so moved. I said to him, what can I do? What can we do to help? And he said, well, we're a nonprofit. We need money. And we need to raise awareness within the sighted community of the isolation that blind people can feel. So I said, okay, well, I can help with both of those. I'm a novelist. I can write a book. And I can shine a light on that isolation, and I can donate half of my royalties to the foundation, which I do with Guiding Emily. The foundation was endlessly helpful to me in my research, continues to be endlessly helpful and supportive to me in my research. White cane training, I sat in on counseling sessions for newly blind adults. Although the word children is in their name of their business, they have children up to age 104, so they do service a large segment of newly blind adults.
And I'm guessing at the time you thought this was a one-off book, and now you're up to number 5.
Well, you know, I like writing series. I always hoped it would do well enough for a series. So I was hopeful from the very beginning, and I had done so well with the Rosemont series. It's much easier as an author, frankly, to sell books in a series than it is to just do a one-off book 25 times.
So give us an overview of the first book, Guiding Emily, and the setup for the series.
Guiding Emily is about a young woman named Emily Main who loses her eyesight in a tragic accident on her honeymoon, and her kind of descent into despair and depression and then coming back out as she learns her independent living skills and regains her life. That would have been a very heavy book to write and to read. So I introduced a point of view character named Garth, who is the beginning of Guiding Emily. He's a puppy in training. And at the end of the book, he and Emily come together as guide and handler. So the book is a love story, but it's not a traditional love story. It's the story between Emily and her dog.
And that's not much of a spoiler because Emily loses her sight in the first couple of chapters of the first book. But she goes on to regain her confidence, gain new life skills as a blind person, and prove to herself as well as those around her that just because she's blind, there's very little she can't do.
Yes, exactly. The purpose of this book, it was my hope it would never be a, oh, poor little blind girl book, or a look at this superhero, although she is very heroic and very brave, you know, blind woman. This was supposed to be a series where this woman would go through all the ups and downs of life, a marriage breakup, not to be a spoiler, but she does have a new romantic interest, and then, you know, blended families and pregnancies and problems at work and a backstabbing boss and somebody taking credit for the work that you do and all those life events, problems with your parents, the whole bit, all those things that we all deal with, and she deals with them. She just happens to be blind, so some of the things she does and uses are different than perhaps a sighted person would use. And I think for the most part, I've achieved that in these books. That was my hope, because that raises the awareness of the sighted community that, maybe I'm skipping here, but case in point, the Foundation for Blind Children had hosted an event for me called An Intimate Evening with Barbara Hinsky. And I gave an hour talk about the movie, and it was a dinner thing. It was a fundraiser, sold out crowd. Half of the people in that audience were visually impaired people with their canes and their guide dogs. And the other half were sighted people. A lot of them were my friends. I cannot tell you how many of my sighted friends said, you know, if we hadn't seen the dogs under the tables and the canes on the tables, you'd never know that these people were blind. I'm like, yep. And there we have it.
They are just people who happen not to be able to see, but otherwise they're individuals just like everybody else facing the same challenges in life, in the careers, relationships, etc.
Absolutely.
What really impresses me about these books is the amount of learning that you must have gone through, especially being a sighted person, to pick up on all these challenges and problem-solving events that visually impaired people go through, and how you talk about all of that, and it just sort of comes up. It's not like you're hitting someone over the head with a baseball bat to tell people about these issues, but it seems all just part of Emily's natural life and path.
And I'd just like to add that your familiarity and comfort with all of these blindness skills and blindness issues has clearly grown from book to book to book to book to book.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm glad that's apparent. Yeah, I have done tons of research, and it's just been joyous kind of research because it's not in a library. It's talking to people, and people have been so kind and so generous. And after the movie came out, now I'm talking to visually impaired people almost all over the world. And I'm the beneficiary of so many generous people who will share their experiences with me.
You talked about the movie that was made out of the Guiding Emily book. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about? And maybe we can talk about the experience?
Yes. And Harley shut me up about this. I published Guiding Emily in June of 2020. I paid for a Kirkus review, which is a legitimate paid review service, and they gave it a very favorable review. Producer Beth Grossbart reads Kirkus reviews looking for books to make into movies, and she found Guiding Emily in August of 2020. Her partner is a woman by the name of Lisa Denberg, producing partner. Lisa's daughter is a puppy raiser. So I get a call from these two gals. Lisa said, you know, you will make me a hero in my own home if you let me make this movie. I had had a prior Hallmark movie and I had virtually no input into that. And that was fine. And I loved that movie. But this one, I wanted to make sure that we didn't dumb down the message. I wanted to keep the message as it was. And so had many hours of conversation with these two wonderful directors. We were all on the same page. So they, you know, hired the scriptwriter and sold it to Hallmark. And it filmed last June. Their last day of filming was right before the actor's strike was set to go. We filmed in West Coast Canada, Victoria. And there was a big thing about, oh my gosh, we've scheduled a night shoot. Because they were thinking, well, the strike would take place at midnight Pacific time. It was midnight Eastern time. So that created a big kerfluffle to finish filming. And I think they finished filming at 10 minutes of night. It ended up not mattering because they extended the strike, but boots on the ground, we didn't know that. And that was quite the experience.
Wow. So I understand that you were very proactive about involving people with vision loss in the making of this movie.
Well, I certainly advocated for it, and Hallmark was. I don't know how much I honestly had to do with it, but I had these two lovely directors included me in casting calls. I mean, I didn't have the contractual right to do that. I'm a pretty respectful person about not being obnoxious and, you know, voicing an opinion when it's not called for. So I think that stood me in my favor. But they did try and get a blind actress to play Emily and were not successful. They got Sarah Drew, who I thought was brilliant. I could not have been more pleased with Sarah. But every single other actor in that movie who was blind, whether they were an extra or a talking part or whatever, anybody who was blind was played by a blind actor. So I think there might have been a couple dozen. Hallmark flew them in from all over Canada and put them up, and they were a great group of people. They asked me to come speak to them at one point in time when they were cooling. You spend a lot of time cooling your heels on a movie set. So I spoke to a bunch of them, and then I got to know them, and, you know, lots of conversation. It was great fun. So anybody who watches that movie who is sighted, if you see someone who is blind, and other than Sarah Drew, they are really blind in real life.
I thought the movie came out really good. It was pretty true to the book and very sensitive, and it was just a fun movie to watch, even though I had read the book.
I absolutely agree.
Thank you. I loved it. I'll tell you what, there was an extraordinarily special feeling on that movie set. Not that there's anything wrong with a Hallmark Christmas movie. They are glorious. And, you know, everybody's there for many people, just a relief in hard times. But this cast and this crew knew we've got something different here. We've got something special. And they were so dedicated to getting it right and getting it filmed right. And the dogs that they used, it took 8 dogs to play Garth. They were all from British Columbia and Alberta guide dogs, and were accompanied by, you know, their handlers and their trainers and stuff. So there was a lot of discussion about, oh my God, it takes 2 years to get a guide dog sometimes because there aren't enough puppy raisers. So during filming, 3 crew members signed up to be puppy raisers, which I just thought was fabulous. I was so thrilled.
That's an impact you could not possibly have imagined having, but how wonderful.
How wonderful. Yeah.
So how long does it actually take to make a movie like that? I assume you were involved in the script, and then you said you had some influence on the casting and directing.
No, I didn't have any influence on the script. They hired a scriptwriter. I'm not a screenwriter. And I thought she did a fabulous job. Well, it's 3 weeks of filming. I mean, they just let me sit in on the casting calls. What fun was that? I was feeling like such a big deal. But I didn't have any vote on anything. I wouldn't have known what to vote anyway. You know, I kept my mouth shut during everything, but there were a couple of times when I noticed that there were some things wrong with the use of the cane and stuff. So I just kind of whispered it in the producer's ear. And she's like, oh, yeah, no. We need to know that. We got to fix that. So that was so nice.
Well, and you were the real expert there. You had studied this for ages and been really involved in all of this. So it was good that you were there. And almost by saying less, you probably had more of an impact.
Oh, I think so. I think most of the time I understand when writers come to the set, everybody kind of groans. It's like when the money guy comes from the production company, the suit, everybody's like, oh God, let's get him out of here. Because he's going to complain about overtime and, you know, we're giving out too much free food from the canteen, all that kind of stuff. So I guess sometimes the authors will come in and they're like, oh, that's not how I wrote it. That's not how I see this. And no, Brian and I were on the same page. This is the time to just be encouraging. Keep your mouth shut. And frankly, you guys, this is a business opportunity for me. There are dozens of producers on a movie. And so I just got to know and got contact information for all of them because I'd like to sell my other works. People would say, what else have you got? I'd like to work with you again. What else have you got for me? So I had pitches ready. I guess that comes from being a business lawyer. You always kind of have that in your wheelhouse. It was a lovely experience all the way around.
Well, that's exciting.
So I just want to go back to the books for a minute. We've been talking about these books. We gave the name of the first one, Guiding Emily, and it is the Guiding Emily series. But we just keep referring to the other ones by number. Can you go through the titles of the five books in the series?
Thank you. So Guiding Emily, The Unexpected Path, Over Every Hurdle, Down the Aisle, and the latest one is From the Heart.
And do you have more planned?
Oh, I sure do. I sure do. I will be writing them as long as they serve an audience. And they're doing very well for me. So, and I love writing them.
Where do you plan to go from here?
The books have led me into a personal passion of mine right now, which is to try to affect a reduction in the unemployment rate of the visually impaired, which is a staggering either 39% or 70%. Either one is too much, depends on what number you use. That would represent, 70% would represent 800,000 people nationwide who are capable of and want jobs and can't find them. Knowing what I know about visually impaired people and their capabilities, that strikes me as completely unacceptable. Economically, we're in a state of very low unemployment. Employers can't find workers, they can't retain workers, and they're always looking for people who can problem solve and think outside the box. Well, hello, there's this whole community who problem solves and thinks outside the box all day long, and who tends to be a very loyal workforce. My goal this year is to reduce that number by 10%, 80,000 jobs. How am I going to do this? Well, I had no idea, but here's my idea, and I'm welcome to suggestions. I want to get in front of human resource people, like at their big conventions. I will moderate a panel of visually impaired people, and we will showcase how they do jobs that are popular within the local economy, so that hiring people out there in the audience will have jobs and look at somebody on the panel and think, oh gosh, I could hire somebody just like that. Someone who's doing a job that will blow the socks off of the audience. I've got a phlebotomist that's going to be at one of my panels. People who employ visually impaired people and can talk about, yeah, it's no big deal. And then finally, somebody who does assistive technology and can speak to broadly about what's available, the cost, the tax breaks, that kind of thing. And then I will have resources, you know, links and things that can send people to job banks where visually impaired people have their resumes posted, or where they can post their jobs. Employers can post their jobs for people to apply to. I've pitched one big conference. I've been told, I've been recommended, I should hear by the end of May. I hope so, because writing these books has made me aware of something I never knew and that I feel is detrimental to society in general. So I'm hoping I can have some tiny part in changing that.
Well, what you've done so far between writing the books and having the movie made has done so much to raise awareness of blindness issues and the capability of at least the blind characters in your books. And if you can get that to people responsible for hiring them, wouldn't that be fabulous?
Thank you. That's what we're going for.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Guiding Emily series of books and movie, how to get them, and how to contact the author, Barbara Hinsky.
Well, Barbara, perhaps you can tell people where to find out more information about yourself, your website, and where to obtain some of these great books.
Thank you. So my website is www.barbarahinsky, and that's B-A-R-B-A-R-A-H-I-N-S-K-E.com. My books are on Amazon in ebook and in print. I'm Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, wherever you buy books. I'm also on Bookshare and Bard and Audible. My audiobooks for Guiding Emily, I think, are just wonderful. The Garth character is great. I have to say, they got Eric McCormack from Will and Grace to play Garth in the movie. And that was kind of a surprise for me, which was a fabulous surprise. So that's where you would find me, and my books are accessible. Guiding Emily itself is in Braille. The first book is in Braille and is available from the Foundation for Blind Children, and I believe is available across the entire Canadian library system.
And with all of that going on, do you still have time to continue the Rosemont series of books, for which you're popular also?
Yes, I was, before we got on today, I was writing book number 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to ask you a question, how could they do that?
So obviously they can contact me through my website or just good old-fashioned email, which is bhinske, H-I-N-S-K-E, @gmail.com. And I love questions.
Do you have a social media presence?
Yes, I'm on Facebook as B. Hinsky and Barbara Hinsky, author, on Instagram. I don't do LinkedIn, but I've got a big Facebook presence.
And as usual, you can find all of that contact information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2424, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. And in the show notes, we'll also have links to three other episodes that we've done with Barbara, and you can listen to some of those episodes and learn about Emily's journey from the beginning. They're really a fun series of books. If you haven't read them, you might want to, and even pass them along to your sighted friends. It really gives a great insight into the lives of blind people and what happens from day to day, how they get through life, how they manage tasks, etc. And of course, the movie was especially good.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about bringing a new dimension to audio description. The Miners Alley Performing Arts Center here in Golden, Colorado, is now offering an audio-described performance of every production they do. With a unique twist, they give a tactile tour of backstage before each described show. We'll talk with the executive director, Lisa DeCaro, and patron services manager, Amy Arpan, about how their audio description service got started and how it works.
So thanks for joining us this week, and we're looking forward to you all joining us behind the scenes at our tour next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.